going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're on it. You're all over it. You've got the story. The Bears have made the first of their draft picks last night at number 10. Kind of interesting to watch the way the board kind of unfolded. And Brad, what was your takeaway from everything you heard last night? And we know of Ben Johnson loving the two tight end sets. Seems like it's a pretty good draft pick for this team.
Yeah, I think the reason why I'd have confidence that this is going to work and be more productive than some of the recent high picks is because I got to think the coach has got a plan for him, and it's a detailed plan, and it's one they're going to be able to put into action. Like, you've seen what he can do in terms of flexibility with personnel groupings, in terms of creativity, in terms of production with the position. And so you're getting a guy with a very similar skill set, excuse me, to Sam Laporta, who the coach worked with in Detroit. Like, if you're in on the hiring of Ben Johnson as the Bears head coach, I think you're probably in on this draft pick, right? Because you're talking about a head coach who, in his rise through the ranks, has been a tight ends coach at three different places. He was a tight ends coach in Detroit. He was a tight ends coach for the Miami Dolphins. He was a tight ends coach at Boston College when they felt he was so good as a grad assistant, they needed to give him additional responsibility. So That's why I'd have confidence that it's going to work out with this player, Colston Loveland.
What does this mean for Cole Kmet? And even though we understand that Ben Johnson likes to use the two tight end sets, would you project Colston Loveland to have more targets and or receptions next year than Kmet?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little early to get into that just because he's a rookie and he's got to go out there and do it. But I would think he's going to have an opportunity. But Cole Kmet has got far more upside and productivity as a pass-catching tight end than any number two option that Johnson's worked with anywhere, really, in my opinion. So I think there's still going to be plenty for Cole to do. And, you know, Jeff King, the senior director of player personnel, even said, like, Cole's going to be a big part of the offense here. Like, this isn't him being replaced by the selection of Colston Loveland. Because you can't run 12 personnel with just Colston Loveland. Had they drafted, Kelvin Banks, let's say that Kelvin Banks doesn't go ninth to the Saints, like, that's drafting a guy to replace Braxton Jones. That's not the case here with Cole.
It is interesting, though, because it'll be just interesting. Cole Kmet is on a four-year, $50 million deal. And
if it's third and five, who's more likely to get the ball?
Well, the guy picked 43rd or the guy
picked 10th.
Third and five, which guy – how do you want to attack him? Which tight end's going to be on the field? So we'll see. They obviously think that Loveland has huge upside here as a producer for them in this offense. This is the kind of first pick for new regime, at least regime involving the head coach, right? The GM's been here for a while. So I think there's certainly reason to be excited.
Did anything really surprise you in the draft? Was the trade down by Cleveland to Jacksonville, did that take you unawares? And Brad, there were all sorts of wild reports about the Bears planning this big move up. They were going to, the Bears, wait till you see them get on their horse. And you couldn't help but wonder if the price that Jacksonville paid to move up a couple spots proved to be debilitating for other teams that may have wanted to move into the first round, nothing happening until the 25th pick.
Yeah, I mean, a few thoughts. First of all, I believe like the Browns and Jaguars, they got together and put the framework of this entire thing together like 2.5 weeks ago. This wasn't something that came together in the last couple of days. This was in place, provided Cam Ward wasn't an option for the Cleveland Browns. More surprising to me that Jacksonville, a team that seemingly needs, has a host of needs, would pay a big, big price to go from 5 to 2 in year one for a new GM, new head coach, than the Browns looking to amass future draft capital in an effort to address the couple decade long quarterback issue in the future. So like the Browns, you can look at and say, okay, I get that. They're loading up to be able to go get their guy when the time is right. That guy wasn't in this draft. Like, are they even going to take a quarterback with, they've got two of the top four picks tonight.
Right.
Are they even going to take a Shedeur Sanders? Do you even take a shot at that and say, well, maybe this guy could be it? Or do you continue to add quality football players so when you do attempt to get your quarterback, you've got a stronger roster? Do you see if you can get future first-round draft picks for your high picks tonight? Do you continue to try to add more draft capital? So the move from Jacksonville's standpoint was a little bit surprising for me. I mean, you want to plant your flag and show everyone, you know, that we've got a new thing going in Jacksonville. Okay, but boy, you paid a heck of a price for Travis Hunter to go do that.
What's weird is they really need a corner, right? So does that mean, we had talked to you before, you said people have told you that this guy's a wide receiver. Now they got an offensive-minded coach. Is that?
Oh, he'll play wide receiver first, and they're going to try to slowly. Like the reason they're dreaming of like this two-way player. Like they've got concrete Charlie Benaric out there, except he plays on the outside. But it sounds like it's offense first, and then they see kind of where it goes. From there, I mean, special player, no question about it. Yep. And if you get two players out of that pick, okay, well then the trade makes more sense. Like if he can really do that and play both ways, okay. I hope it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun to watch, and I hope he can stay healthy.
We're going to compare quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round, like we will with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels throughout the course of their careers. We already went through that with the 2017 draft as well. Do you think it's going to be human nature to compare the paths that Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland take? And do you think that one is positioned for better success than the other?
Yeah, it's fair to – the Bears could add either one of them, right? So – You're gonna kind of look at that, and I think the Bears did a pretty good job of explaining their thought process, like with yesterday when Ryan Poles and Jeff King chatted for a little bit. They both said, "Hey, we think Tyler Warren's going to be a great player." It came down to Colston Loveland. They feel is a better fit for them. And I think that makes sense. I think you look at it and you say Tyler Warren's probably a more physical tight end, more punishing. And Colston Loveland is a little more explosive and athletic. So from the plan of what the coach wants to do with the position, I think Loveland is probably a better fit. Now he's got to go out and prove that he's he's a better tight end. And they even said they think he's more effective as a run blocker than maybe he gets credit for. So he's got good size. What is he? 6'5", 240? Like this is a big boy. And blocking is something that you can get coached up on that at the NFL level. Like you can't coach the lower body quickness and twitch and things of that nature, but you can coach up a guy on becoming an even better blocker than he is, and they feel like he's pretty solid. But yeah, that's a comparison. And Dave, what's Mykel Williams do for the San Francisco 49ers, a defensive end out of Georgia? Like, how does his career unfold? Because you could make a legitimate case that's a pick that would have made sense for them. So if that guy goes out and wrecks shop for the 49ers, you look at that and you say, well, you know, here's something they could have done. But as long as Colston Loveland is producing and playing well in their offense, I think you'll feel pretty good about it. And they've been on him for a while, right? They did heavy, heavy work on J.J. McCarthy a year ago. You know, they were on the ground in Ann Arbor watching games. They were talking to people in the program. So they're learning and, seeing things and with Colston Loveland last year, and then this year you get deeper into the, you know, what's this guy like? Get to know him a little bit, do background work, and that's where I think he became even more impressive for them.
So I think we have a good feel for what the Bears need. How does the board match up with that? What do you think they do in the early second round tonight?
Yeah, you had two left tackles.
That was pity.
Potential left tackles, yep. Anyway, come off the board.
Connerly and Simmons. Late. Yeah, I was cursing
late
that.
Late last night.
Yeah.
Late last night. And so if you are dead set on, you know, is there a left tackle here that can compete? Minnesota's Ariante Ursary might be kind of the last best option. Unless, you know, they find a Braxton Jones, a lower round pick that can do something as a rookie. That would be challenging, not unheard of. Ursary, lot of starts at left tackle for the Gophers. I want to say like 37 or 38 of them. I don't have that in front of me, guys. But and I think I mentioned when I was on with you guys, was it last week or the beginning of the week, that all the times kind of molded together here. But I talked to a guy who compared him. He liked him as good or better than our man Mimbo from Mizzou. So, you know, everybody's got a different flavor or take, but that's an option there. After him, it gets a little more thin. But there's a lot of good football players that are on the board, I feel like. Certainly, the running back class really hasn't been touched after the top couple guys, right?
Yep.
If you really like Travion Henderson, well, he might be an option. Maybe he does. He make it to 39. I don't know, but that's a good football player. Nick Eamon-Worry, the safety from South Carolina, who I think a lot of people thought would go round one. He's available. There's 3-4 edge rushers that I feel like most people thought would be late one or early two options.
Mike Green.
Yeah, Mike Green. Now that, you know, you're going to have to square away the off-field concerns for Mike Green, who led FBS in sacks with like 17.
Well, how different is the Mike Green situation? How different is the Mike Green situation this year to the Jalen Carter situation a couple years ago? Are the Bears in a better position?
I mean, you know, the Mike Green thing, like, there's been, you know, allegations involving women, so I don't think Jalen Carter had a lot of baggage. I, to my knowledge or recollection anyway, it didn't involve that. So I think these are they're kind of different animals that way. But is it? And I don't know that it is. But if that's an issue that you're trying to square away, does that become different in round two after round one? I don't know. Like, and it's probably, it'd probably tell you it's a individual case by case basis for every guy with stuff of that nature. But then the other question I'd have here with him, Dave, is the size. Like, is he too small to kind of be a fit for what they want to do? Remember, they've talked about bringing all their coaches in. Okay, what's the prototype at the position in the Dennis Allen defense? What are we looking at it at left end, right end, three tech? You know what? So if he's kind of outside of the box for what they're looking for, that would make it a heck of a lot easier to kind of say, yeah, nah, we're not interested in him.
When you think about the players that are on the board, like, ideally, if Green you're afraid of or you don't like his size, length, whatever it is, do you hope he's drafted before you go? If Shedeur Sanders is anybody, you know what I'm saying?
If the quarterbacks,
yeah.
Because Poles alluded to it last night, guys. he was asked, well, hey, well, was this as wild as you thought it would be? And I think he thought maybe there'd be a little more action in the top half of round one, and maybe he was telling you that he knew that something was going down with the Cleveland pick at two, without telling you the other day. But, you know, this is where you could see even more action. Do the Steelers feel like they need to get in there for a quarterback? I don't know. Does New Orleans feel like it can get a quarterback at 40, sandwiched between the two Bears picks, or does it move up? Is there another team that, maybe we'll take a shot at this quarterback? You know, there's history shows you there's not a ton of quarterbacks taken in round two because, generally speaking, everybody's overpaid and overdrafted their guys in round one. But the Bears are in an interesting position, and they resisted the urge to trade up yesterday. And if you kind of like your draft capital where it is right now, I don't know that you want to trade up today. And if there's a whole pool of players that they feel good about, maybe there's a trade down spot for them. I don't know. But I just know, looking at a host of names, there's some corners that you look at and you're like, boy, there's some decent football players here. They've talked about this being kind of the sweet spot of this draft. So if that's the case, you would think they would be reluctant to trade up, but I don't know. We'll see.
Have a great weekend, Brad. Good stuff.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
That is Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
My favorite pick of the draft so far is Colston Love to the Chicago Bears. That offense, that coordinator, that quarterback, and then to also have Roma Dunze on one side, I love this. Oh, DJ Moore, I love this. Colston Loveland could be like, you know, one of those breakout rookie tight ends that we get every so often.
Hey, Chicago, can't wait to get started. Bear down, let's go.
I like it. It's simple. It's to the point. That was Colston Loveland, the Bears' draft pick. And did you happen to see, Marshall, the decor of the room he was drafted in?
The one that looked like they had just gotten back from a big day out hunting?
It was like Central Casting, Idaho. Like, the Longhorns on the wall were what caught my eye, and then I realized the elk head was pretty amazing.
Double elk head.
Aren't they elk? Either way, those are multiple elk, moose, points whatever. On the deer head. Yeah, that's
something
that's
with
incredible.
Horns. Something with horns. It was interesting because I was like, first of all, there's not enough lighting in that room. And I realized, oh, this isn't for TV. This is them just hanging out watching the draft.
But that is an epic room. The ceiling's got to be like 15, 20 feet high.
So does everyone just have a hat for every single team? Because as I was looking around, I noticed everyone was ready. Like, with the hat of the team. So does everyone have all 32 teams' hat at their disposal when they're not on site? On site, it's easy because they got
right,
plenty
you
of
just
hats.
Pick the hat.
Yeah, they give you the hat on your way out.
Yeah,
I think everyone, Marshall, does have every hat, but only one person put out that baller display of hats and is still sitting to be selected.
Oh man, don't do that.
Sorry,
listen,
sorry,
here.
Shador.
Have you? Canton, Texas is East Texas. That's Van Zandt County, if you're curious. But the real point is there's tons of land. Like, when I say tons, I mean tons. So who knows what kind of compound they have. They probably have just, like, rooms for extra rooms. It's probably like a 7,000-square-foot house easily. So
what is he going to do with the rest of the hats, though? So he's, like, giving them out to friends?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Oh, you like the Seahawks? Here's a hat.
Yeah, return policy if you're not worn.
Seahawks, they'd be fighting over that because it's Idaho. It's right nearby. That actually makes sense.
But you're not, if you're in the draft room for the guy, you're wearing his hat. You're not, they better be wearing Bears hats.
We're talking about at the end of the night, like, oh, we got to get rid of these hats.
But the family and your friends and family want to support you. They don't care about the other team.
At some point, it can just be a fashion decision. At some point, it can just be a fashion decision, right?
Like our buddy Bill Griggs, who always wore like the old school Jets and Spurs hats before they were cool.
His dad played for the Jets, so that's why he wore the Jets
hat. Fair enough, but he always made it look cool. This guy was ahead of the fashion by about 10 and a half years.
No, I think we were just behind. I can honestly say
it was definitely both. He was wearing the old school 90s Spurs hat before the 90s were back in.
I'm so fascinated with Colston Loveland because we just heard John Jansen to kind of tell us what kind of guy he is.
Right.
As a, he seems like a more quiet workman-like type. I shouldn't say the word workman. Yeah, it's too soon.
You're very sad about it.
It's too soon.
We'll pour one out for Gage Workman at 12:25.
But no, seriously, I'm interested to get to know him better just so I can understand what kind of personality we're adding into the mix.
The overwhelming impression I got was, oh, both tight ends are available, Warren and Loveland. Oh, they want Loveland. Okay, well, that tells me exactly who they want this offense to be. That tells me exactly who the personnel is. Loveland, also, because of what he does, you know, he's considered like a seam stretcher. You see how he can make plays in space as a catcher. Yeah, I feel like this is the guy who they want to function as the number three receiver.
Yes, and I think that was the point I was trying to make in transition. Like, that doesn't mean Cole Kmet just disappears.
I think, David, so I said that Loveland, like, even though Loveland's on the team, Cole Kmet likely has more production than he did last year.
Yeah.
He has more targets than he did last year.
That's all I was saying. They acted like I was, oh my goodness, how could you disparage the number 10 overall pick?
Here's the issue I have with anything that happened with the Bears' production last season as to how you see this all fitting together this year. They didn't even run enough plays. They're three and out on their first drive all the time. Like, there wasn't enough plays to go around to give people appropriate targets. They were too busy stalling drives. So, like, ideally, that's not happening this year. You're going to have more plays to run. You're going to have more targets. You're going to have just more overall to be able to get everybody involved. Like, tight end production is, you know, there was a year where Cole Kmet, before he signed that contract, was the Bears' leading receiver. And he was still only in the, like, 700, 800 yard department.
Yeah, he wasn't out here putting up all pro numbers by any means. So
there's enough ball to go around.
I think there is now. I don't know that that was the case last year in that particular offense run by that particular offensive coordinator.
And Lord, on the day of the 25th of April in 2025.
That's today.
Please let me talk about the day where we don't have enough ball for all the Bears. Please let me have that problem.
That is a great problem.
Amen.
To have. I want to hear from Colston Loveland, mainly because I just want to hear his voice.
How do you see yourself in this? Tell me the main character syndrome, Colston Loveland. Like, you are the center of attention right now.
I think Colston Loveland's got to be happy that he's with Ben Johnson because he saw, as a guy who was, you know, playing football in Michigan, at Michigan, right down the road from Detroit, the Lions, and where there was so much offensive success from Ben Johnson. He understands better than most what he's getting into, who would be in his position. Here is what he said about his impression of Ben Johnson.
What were your conversations like with Ben Johnson, and what was your excitement about the possibilities for you in that offense?
Like I said, we met at Pro Day, and just love the guy. Obviously, before I even met him, just watching Detroit last year, the things that they were doing, you know, just he was like, man, really smart, knows what he's doing, knows football. And, you know, finally being able to talk with him, meet with him, and kind of pick his brain. Number one fan of that guy for sure. He's legit. He's a stud. And I can't wait to be under that. I know he's going to put us in great positions, put Chicago in great positions to win games. And I'm just super excited for it.
Listen, it's great to be a tight end drafted by Ben Johnson, knowing what Ben Johnson does with tight ends.
Yeah, you're very happy. Like, you have a reason to be excited.
Yeah, like, how are you, like, what? Tell me a better position than understanding that Ben Johnson was hired to make the offense go, and you were the first player he selected in the draft to help make the offense go.
Yeah, I think if, you know, it's like maybe Jahide Campbell is just as happy playing behind that wrecking crew.
How could you not be?
But that's the point. There are certain systems where, you know, if you're the one who's taken, you're like, aw, this is great for me. Like, I'm going to focus on me for a minute. This is fantastic. He didn't strike me as that guy. I'm not saying he is the main character.
I got you.
Energy, but he should appreciate what's going on. Somebody who is on to this, when it comes to the Tyler Warren versus Colston Loveland battle, if you will, or showdown, or whatever you want to call it, we're going to be comparing these two now for a long time.
The rest of their careers, you could argue.
That's what happens. These are what the decisions come down to. Our friend Nate Tice, who was on with us earlier this week, and did talk about why he likes Colston Loveland more than Tyler Warren.
The receiving ability is just so fluid for such a big build. He's a little bit younger. And also, when I broke him down and I got to compare them in a longer article, I expected Warren to be a better blocker right now. And maybe I had to project more for Loveland, you know, seeing that he's younger, he has longer arms. which, you know, typically means you can add a little bit of bulk to it and a bit of strength, that I came in and watched, you know, Michigan's offense, and I am watching Loveland be a better inline blocker. When I mean inline is what you think of a traditional tight end. You know, Mercedes Lewis is probably the ultimate example, a true Y inline tight end. So I think that ability, which I thought would be more of a projection, is more of a current strength of his game, which gets me excited. So he's younger than Warren. I think he has receiving ability that matches Warren. They just get to it in different ways. Maybe not as dynamic after the catch, but I think his catching range and his route running is very good. But on top of it, that he can do the real tight end stuff. You don't have to hide him. So I just think you can just do, there's the potential to do more with Warren or with Loveland than Warren, which is kind of ironic because of how they were used in college. Like that Warren's versatility actually makes him more of a limited fit for certain teams, while Loveland, I think, can match a lot of teams, including the Bears. I'm just that more versatility and plus versatility I'm excited about with Loveland.
It's also the way I envision it. This one person in particular is going to help utilize a part of the field that we have not seen the Bears use for years. When you're talking about splitting safeties, everything over the middle, that where we have seen just a dearth of production. You know, yeah. We saw a bit of it with Keenan Allen last year at times.
Hmm.
He's such a defined route runner that you knew exactly what you were going to get in that particular play. So in this case, I just really like the concept of knowing we have a guy for this part of the field. And now it's your job to do battle against who's facing you in a mismatch or a matchup.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the training camp to begin so that we can see, first off, just how healthy he is, how good he looks. And then, like, just can we just get past the preseason straight to the right? I mean, it's just, what? Preseason's one game now, right?
Don't you take away my summer away from me. You know, I think 75 is cold. Stop that.
You're the one who thinks I should have a hot boy summer.
You asked me the question, should I have a hot boy summer? And I said, yes, you've earned it. You had career-focused summer last year.
Did I, though? I took the summer off. If we're really,
but you kind of did, but you reap. I don't know. It's been a good year for you career-wise.
It's been a decent career. I'm enjoying it.
You achieved all your goals early.
I did.
Says to me?
What does it say?
Hot boy summer.
Oh, wow.
That's how that works.
Hot boy summer and a hot girl summer. Let's go.
No.
Let's go.
My last hot girl summer was before I was married. And even then, I was dating my ex-husband. So, no.
Sounds very not hot when you say it like that.
I liked him. We liked each other. It was fun.
That's cool. I hope I like someone again one day.
Yeah. A girl can dream.
So can a man. You can all dream.
We are happy, though, that the Bears chose Colston Loveland, or at least made a decision on a tight end. That was something that selfishly, I'm like, oh, now I know how this offense looks. Well, isn't that nice?
Jake, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm happy for my guy, Colston Loveland, one of the greats, maybe the great, in my opinion. When I watched the tape, I'd say the greatest Michigan tight end ever. And now coming to Chicago. And congrats to David Hall, too. I don't know what type of black magic you were doing last week, David, but for you to go into the crystal ball and predict this, I saw it all over social media, on radio, on our big college, big pro football show. Congratulations. You called it. You saw it from a mile away.
I'm not sure about that every now and then, Jake. But I think that, you know, you made a really good point in talking about what Colston Loveland has gone through at Michigan and why it is so impressive, or at least one of the reasons. And we're talking with Mully this morning. Jake, he did not have a steady hand at quarterback last year. You can look at J.J. McCarthy the previous season, and that was a national championship caliber team and offense. But what was impressive about was the way that he found ways to get open and to make plays when he didn't have the consistency at quarterback. And that was one of several reasons why I thought, well, you know what? This is a guy that's going to find a way to get open in an NFL offense.
Yeah, and listen, I think you heard Ben Johnson say that Colston Loveland reminds him of Sam LaPorta. And what you just described is what I saw as covering Sam LaPorta in the Big Ten. I called like three Iowa games in LaPorta's final year of college. And what we know about Iowa, this is true every year, is they don't have receivers and they didn't have a quarterback. So what Sam LaPorta did at Iowa is he lined up all over the field. He was the solo wide receiver backside. He was the on-ball tight end, off-ball tight end. Occasionally he was fullback. He was the slot wide receiver. So Sam LaPorta, and and again, that meant defenses were going to put their best cover guy on him and have safety help. So Sam Laporta had to win like a true wide receiver. The Detroit Lions saw that and said, man, I want that to be part of my offense. And what you saw was Sam Laporta be one of the most impressive tight ends, regardless of the fact that he was a rookie tight end or a young tight end. That's what's happening here in Chicago with Colston Loveland. And that's the big difference between Loveland and Tyler Warren. And, you know, we can get into this. I have some theories of why everyone was so certain that Tyler Warren was the top guy. But Tyler Warren, when you look at his film, all of his routes are flat routes. They're seams, they're crossers, they're straight line routes. Whereas you watch Colston Loveland this past year, they're choice routes, they're option routes, they're double moves. They're beating a guy off the line of scrimmage and then beating a safety at the second level. They're NFL quality routes. Here's how I can sum it up. I think Colston is a better route runner than McMillan, the first receiver taken. Regardless, I think Colston is a better route runner and separator than the first wide receiver taken. So I think the Bears got a weapon even more than just a tight end.
You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score. We're talking to Jake Butt, who joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. That is really interesting to hear, Jake. Certainly, you know, he seems to be such a mismatch against both linebackers and safeties and who covers the tight end, right? And you see him also with, like, some explosion, some sideline routes. I know he caught like a 54-yard touchdown pass, 45-yard. He can get down the field more than you usually see from a tight end.
And here's the other thing is, what games did he do that? You know, one of those 50-yard touchdowns was as a freshman in Columbus playing Ohio State in a key moment in the fourth quarter. You know, he made play. Some of those plays came in the biggest moments, in critical moments, in big games. So, and what those routes, I'm kind of playing them back in my head right now. A lot of those, again, were double moves. This wasn't like a Y throwback. Like, sometimes tight ends get a 50-yard touchdown, and it's because they run that little sneak play where they hide behind the line of scrimmage and then run down the sidelines and no one covers them. Like, no, these are 40, 50-yard touchdowns of Colston Loveland routing up defenses that are already aware they have to cover him because he's such a weapon. But he's such a good route runner that he's still able to get open in the critical moments.
He did line up in the slot about 48% of the time last season at Michigan. Certainly he is here to be the weapon you describe. He's also going to have to at some point block. Not that that's going to be his primary function, Jake, but I do wonder, that part of his game, where is he now, and can that be coached at the NFL level?
I'm not understanding... You know, I think a lot of the narrative that formed around the tight end position here, I don't think it was based in a ton of film study, to be honest with you. I don't really understand where Colston Loveland, the narrative that he's a terrible blocker, an unwilling blocker. His willingness, because he loves the game of football, is high on the scale. He's never going to be a Y tight end that's 275 pounds and can block the best hand in the dirt defensive ends, but he's going to be able to cut. He's going to be able to cut guys off on the backside. He's going to be able to climb and take on linebackers, nickels, and safeties. And really, that's what Chicago should be using him to do. He's going to lose some blocks. Okay, next season he's going to miss some blocks because it's the NFL. But I'd be shocked if we're saying at this point next season that Loveland is such a bad blocker that it's a problem for anything in the Bears' offense.
You know, it was very funny because they showed him at home with his family. And, you know, there's like two giant elks up on the thing, and they cut to this, and they immediately, whoever's on ABC says, oh, I wonder what these people like to do for a hobby. Like, it was kind of funny, but it was like the guy's at a hunting lodge. It looked so wild, and he's from a different part of the country. What can you tell us about him as a guy? I mean, I saw he just turned 21. That is unbelievable how young he is.
Yeah, he's a bit of a quiet guy. You know, he's really not. You're not going to see him at the bars here in Chicago. You're not going to see him in front of TV. You know, he's not going to be, you know, a media darling where he's constantly, you know, voicing strong opinions. But he loves to work and he loves the game of football. And I believe he truly wants to be great and be the best version of himself. He's from a small town there in Idaho. Jim Harbaugh told us that I think his hometown is considering having a Colston Loveland Day. He's like the most famous guy to come out of their town ever. So that kind of speaks. He's got those small town values and I interviewed one of his teammates on Sirius XM radio yesterday, and they just talked about how much they loved him as a teammate and how everybody shares that same sentiment. So, you know, all those character boxes you like to check, Chicago did their homework and happy to check it.
All right, Jake, looking at the rest of the Big Ten tonight with the second round, the Bears are going to have some choices. I just wonder what you can tell us about Arianti Urseri, who is the left tackle from Minnesota, could be under consideration. Then the tandem of Ohio State running backs, who we know the Bears get one of those guys, they'll feel pretty good about the position.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how far Will Johnson's going to slide, but, yeah. You know, you're looking at a best player available, a guy that really has top 10 player film. And now, because of the injuries are real, sure, but now you're saying from a value standpoint, it's worth the risk. You know, you're starting to tip those scales. So Will Johnson's interesting too. You know, I love both backs. Travion Henderson, I think I wouldn't be surprised if we're having conversations as him being the best back in this class. I just think he's that special. He's the best pass protecting back I've ever scouted, you know, I've ever seen on film. And that's so important for, you know, Caleb Williams. Even if it's not a blitzing linebacker, swab the ribs of the defensive end on your way out to your route, you know, help those tackles out. That's such an important piece in the NFL. It never gets discussed. Arianti Urseri, though, very interesting player. I called the Minnesota spring game a few years ago where he was projected to be the starting tackle for the first time, and the coaches started raving about him. They told me the story. They found him from some random camp. He had just started playing football for the first time. I think he was like a junior in high school. So it's not like he has an extensive history of playing football. He's just a freaky athlete, a basketball background, and the sky's really the limit. Great, great athlete that – I think had he been playing football longer, maybe had a chance to develop more. He's got first round talent and first round potential. So you're starting to get good value there at that left tackle spot.
I'm curious, you know, you mentioned kind of the difference between Loveland and the kid from Penn State, Warren. And Warren's one of these guys that they used in all sorts of different ways, and he played different positions. I think he was a quarterback when he was in high school or something. But I'm just curious, why do you think, you know, is it purely the route running that you talked about that separates the two of them? Is there, I don't think Warren had a great 40 time or didn't, you know, he would have had like the second slowest if he had timed it or something at the combine. What else stands out to you about those two players, the differences?
So Tyler Warren is better after the catch. If I just take the redeeming quality, I would say Tyler Warren is better after the catch, at least what I saw this year, than Colston Loveland. I would say that the gap there is smaller than the gap of Loveland as a route runner compared to Tyler Warren as a route runner. When Colston runs routes, it's different. He has an ability to be running full speed, stop on a dime, and maintain that same speed going in a different direction. That's really not Tyler Warren. Now, I just think what happens is we have so much time between the end of the season and pre-draft. It becomes an echo chamber. I'm not about to say this because I think Tyler Warren's a phenomenal tight end. Mm-hmm. I agree with that he could be tight end one, but I believe what happened is Colston Loveland got injured. He missed the Ohio State game. He missed the bowl game. So the conversation in the Michigan offense stunk last year. So there was never any rocket fuel to get the Loveland momentum going. Whereas Tyler Warren, we see him in the playoffs. He wins the Mackey. We're talking about him potentially winning the Heisman. And he's making all these big plays. So the momentum train for Tyler Warren gets ridden all the way up to the draft, where I see a lot of Bears fans saying, man, Tyler Warren's tight end one. Is that because you guys watched every game of Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland? No, like you heard someone say that. There should not have ever been a massive gap or a singular consensus that Tyler Warren was so much better than Colston. I think there's a case. Personally, I think Colston is a better fit for the Bears, and certainly I keep going back to the route running capability and separation capability that clearly the Bears fell in love with.
Great stuff, Jake.
Thanks so much, Jake.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you. See you later. Yep.
That is Jake Butt. Great stuff. Really interesting. And he
watches these guys.
But he's definitely right about that fact, about that Loveland had the shoulder. And meanwhile, in Michigan, they had the great win over Ohio State, but they had a subpar year. They lost the quarterback.
And Penn State was in the college football playoff. And
Penn State
was... bigger platform.
Yes.
And I think he's exactly right. People latch onto that. Both are excellent players.
Yeah.
Good choices by their respective teams. Bears got themselves a good one, though.
Yeah, it looks that way. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Not since Babe Ruth has man called his shot in that style, Mr. David.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Friday.
Congratulations.
Bears got their guy. Very good pick. I believe it was a smart pick given the way the board fell to the Bears. Colston Loveland may seem like a duplicate part to a lot of people. They've got a fine tight end in Cole Kmet, but I just think that Ben Johnson looked at this young man out of Michigan. He saw a lot of similarities to the guy that he coached and called plays for last year in Detroit, in Sam Laporta. And the Bears made their move, got their guy, and stamped this draft as the Ben Johnson draft.
Yeah, this is definitely a Ben Johnson draft. We know that the offense that he ran in Detroit was the best in the NFL, and we know that part of that was him using the two tight end set, the two tight ends. I believe it was third most in the entire NFL.
Only two other teams did it more.
Yeah, and so now you got a couple tight ends, so you can check that portion of the program. You feel good about that. I was a little surprised that all the offensive tackles went off the board.
There was a run on them. It happens every year. There's a position that goes like that.
I felt nothing but relief, Mr. David, because I had seen too many things online and heard too many people talking about the Bears moving up, trading up to get Ashton Jeanty. And I was kind of like, oh, don't do that. Hey, do this and do that, but don't do that. I just didn't want them. I feel the strength of the draft for the Bears is coming. I think that they got a really good player who's going to start for many a year and is going to be a real weapon for Ben Johnson, as mentioned earlier. But these two second-round picks and the third-round pick, these you need starter-quality players out of all these picks.
That's why evaluating the Bears draft after the first round is understandable and it's fun to do. But it also is incomplete because they're looking at this as a four-act play.
Yes.
And you really can't review it until the curtain closes. And that, to me, is what this draft is about, the first four picks. And I think when we heard from Ryan Poles late last night, you heard that similar sentiment expressed because he was obviously asked about the reports that were feverish and they were frenzied. And before the draft, you got this sense that maybe the Bears were going to do this just based on how prevalent the reports were from Diana Rossini. Albert Breer had some mention about the Bears moving up. And look, that's part of due diligence, I think, to make those phone calls and to see what it might take and to consider it and talk about it. But I think Ryan Poles is looking at this draft the way that he needs to, and that is to replenish his roster, maybe find a toy or two along the way, like he did last night, and get three starters of those first four picks. And that's the way he was looking at it. And I think that's what we have to expect. Again, returning to action tonight when they have two more picks in the second round.
Yeah, it's good. I like what they're doing. I like the team they're building. I think there's still some really good players on the board. I can't believe that the cornerback out of Michigan is still available.
Tells you a little bit about the medicals. Yes. We talked about that with Abdul Carter. You wondered about other players in the first round.
Yes.
Will Johnson dropping out of the first round, given his skill set.
Yeah.
Had he been healthy, he's a top 10 pick. He clearly isn't healthy.
Right. And I think, David, that the one that seems to have captured everyone's attention is this storyline that's ongoing with Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. And I know we're not in the quarterback evaluation business this year out of the draft, but that is it's interesting that he is now available, that a team like Cleveland that traded down and got a really good player out of Michigan might be able to take a quarterback. You know, they're still trying to figure out what to do.
All's forgiven in Cleveland.
Well, I don't. You know,
the Sanders probably hold a grudge against every team that passed on Shedeur in the first round.
Yeah, but I mean,
you can't let that bother you.
I think. Would you call him? Would you, if you were a general manager, would you have placed a phone call into him just see what his mentality's like? Let me ask some.
Yes.
Is it possible that he's not going to be the third quarterback taken?
Well, if it is, then that's a shame because I don't think they're making a fair assessment. I believe that Shedeur Sanders does have some limitations, but I also think every quarterback that's drafted does. And last night, to me, it was a surprise that he dropped out of the first round, but I don't think there were all football reasons for that to happen.
Milroe is a guy that people like quite a bit.
Well, he's got great intangibles.
Incredible skill set. Not a thrower.
And skill set, he's unpolished, though. I think he's a little bit raw.
Right.
You know, Shedeur Sanders is pretty polished. He's an accurate thrower. If his name were Joe Smith, he'd have gone last night.
That's what the Sanders said.
Is that what he said?
But the family has been saying that.
I believe that though, reason, don't you?
I don't know. If he was a really good player, he'd go on last night
possibly.
No matter what. I think the position may be changing a little bit in the league.
Maybe so. But I do also think that if you say that, it's harder for me to agree when you see what the Giants did at the end of the first round. Then it's not like Jackson Dart is a modern version of the NFL quarterback you described. Jackson Dart is more traditional in his skill set and more similar to Shedeur Sanders. He also doesn't bring all of that baggage to New York with the Giants. That room is crowded enough with Jameis Winston and Russ Wilson. So now you've got Jackson Dart, who quietly will sit in the back and learn. If you bring in Shedeur Sanders, you bring in a show. And I don't think that's overstating it, but I'm not also sure that's fair to Shedeur Sanders. And here's the other thing, Molly, and we'll talk about this, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. I hate coming out of a draft and talking about what didn't happen.
Oh, no. I mean,
not you, but like this is a story nationally.
This has been talked about every day, which I find it kind of insane.
But then it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
So now we're talking about and focused on things, and they will be all day. They will nationally. What didn't happen? Who didn't go?
You keep neglecting to mention the kid from Jersey, you know, the Illinois quarterback.
Tommy DeVito.
Isn't that the real story? Yeah.
Is that the real story?
No.
Ask his agent. I'm sure he'll be making the rounds. He's on the Today Show at 7:15. Probably. Don't forget about us.
That's so classic.
Yeah, but that's going to be a fascinating subplot to tonight.
Oh,
I would be
shocked
if he goes more than 10 picks into the second round without getting a call. And then, again, we're with the Bears having 39 and 41, good. Get Shedeur Sanders to somebody.
Yeah.
Draft another quarterback.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Because there's some good players still out there available for the Bears.
No doubt about
it. And if you look at these guys tonight as potential starters, contributors from week one on, then there are going to be some good players that they can add to the mix.
Yeah. Who's the next tackle off the board? The kid from Minnesota. I don't know if that's still too early for him, but it's not too early to take a tackle if you need a tackle.
Well, not when you have passed on the tackles. Now, going back to the Bears' mindset and going back to the Bears' approach, I did wonder, as the picks started to come off the board, I did wonder if at nine.
Yes.
That was where I was most surprised. Kelvin Banks Jr. going to the Saints, coming off the board as the third tackle taken.
Yeah.
They're always a run at one position. Often it might be a pass rusher. Sometimes it's a quarterback. But Kelvin Banks Jr. becoming the third offensive tackle at nine, to me, I think, gave the Bears and pushed the Bears in that direction.
Oh, no question about it.
I do wonder what they might have done if the Saints had gone to another direction.
They may well have gone in the same direction. They may well have been down that road. But I think clearly the Saints believed that they were going to go in that direction. You know what I mean?
Right.
They took a guy was the third one before the Bears could get him. I really believe that they were aware that the Bears were in the market for a tackle and probably, you know, it helped them make that selection for them. I don't know that it was the right pick for New Orleans. Time will tell on all these things, but I'm with you. The very fact that, okay, the tackles are cleaned out. Now who do you take? Well, here we go. Let's go with the unicorn.
And Molly, I don't think that when you talk about offensive tackles, if there are a lot of good players still left on the board. The tackle you're referencing is the Minnesota kid.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Ursary.
Yes. Yeah.
Ariante Ursary, yes. Who didn't start playing, I think, football until high school. He was a basketball player. But you look at his tape, and we were talking about this the other day with Clay Harbor, who's going to join us again today to talk about the tight end selection.
Oh, good.
Ursary blocked Abdul Carter and held his own. He was very good. He's got good tape. And I just wonder if he's a guy that you look at with either 39 or 41, if he's still on the board, if the Bears address a position that they went into this draft fixated on.
Yeah, I think that is – if they come out with him, I think they need a running back too, just looking at what they want to do and the way that they've now gotten themselves the tight end and they can run the two tight end set. Well, that they probably need a more explosive running back than the one that they currently have. And I would love to see him grab one of the Ohio State guys. I think that
Trayvon Henderson. Yeah, I think that's the one. If he's there.
If he's there.
Yeah.
The kid from Iowa is still
Caleb
there.
Caleb Johnson, that may be a little high, 41.
But there's still a couple of them. I'm just saying, they'll be – you know, maybe you want to get a Cam Scadaboo in the third round. That's how you roll.
Maybe you do.
But I was saying, I think we kind of know the positions. And we kind of know players that are available at those positions.
What I like about the Bears pick is that, to me, it reflects, again, a common sense approach to a decision and to a draft and just to putting your football team together, building your offense. Ben Johnson knows how to scheme a guy like Loveland open. He did it with Sam Laporta.
Yes.
Colston Loveland lined up in the slot 48% of the time at Michigan. He's somebody clearly is a wide receiver in a tight end body.
Yep.
And when you have that combination, you have a lot of options schematically, and I think this is consistent with the Bears' entire offseason approach.
Bears have only ever drafted three tight ends in the first round. I don't think this kid's Mike Ditka, although they both were number 10 overall picks. You may see a little bit of the other guy, though.
Greg Olsen?
This could be kind of, he's got
that's the cop I made yesterday, and I think you're right.
Yes.
But, you know, you remember Greg Olsen, and we'll talk to Olin tomorrow during our draft show, 9 to 12.
Right.
Remember, I think Olsen tells a funny story about Greg Olsen not blocking at the goal line during a game against the Saints, perhaps, if I remember correctly. He wasn't known for his blocking. He wasn't drafted to get in the way of defensive tackles. You know what he was drafted for? To get open. And I think Colston Loveland knows how to get open. You're not going to ask him to do much blocking, theoretically.
Theoretically, he's a better blocker than Greg was. I'm just saying.
I'm not
taking a knock. I'm just saying I think he's got a big body. He's a cowboy. Did you see that stuff?
Oh, did you see him in his living room? The elks on the wall.
Holy cow!
Oh my gosh! Somebody, the taxidermy involved here.
I think somebody in on the ABC broadcast said, "Well, you don't have to wonder what that family does as a hobby."
Who said that?
So whoever was on the ABC broadcast, I just chuckled.
There were three elk heads, I believe, on the wall.
Boy, they do
and the
some
walls
shooting.
Of the Loveland but living room or man cave.
This is the kid who would get up at 6 in the morning, go milk the cows, go to school.
Go build the fence.
Come home, have a nap, and play football. I mean,
you gotta love it. And
have you ever been to the rodeo, David?
I have not been. I have been to the rodeo after the rodeo for a story, but I've never really participated in the rodeo. No,
I have been to a rodeo, yeah. Which was an unbelievable life experience.
Was it your first rodeo?
It was my first rodeo. Now I've been to my first rodeo. This is no longer my first rodeo, but I got to tell you, the thing that stood out to me was how many people get hurt badly in the rodeo.
Yeah.
Mother of God, that is, you got to be hard as nails to get through a rodeo season.
If the animals were damaged to that extent, you'd have PETA all over them.
I got to tell you, yes. There's no doubt about it. There's like an ambulance at the rodeo that is in working condition and working practice because people are being ambulanced out of the rodeo.
Small town in Idaho, 3,200 people, I believe, it can relate to that. I'm looking forward to hearing how he expresses himself coming to Chicago. And we all know that this is not necessarily the first time the Bears have taken somebody out of Idaho in the first round. Good old Shea McClellan from Chicken Dinner Road.
That's right.
Remember that story? That
please was, don't put their two names in the same sentence.
I'm just saying. Listen.
Do I remember that story?
It's 2012. It wasn't that long ago. Shea McClellan came from Idaho. Well, it's a fact.
Yeah, didn't
check
it?
Me.
Dustin. That's about all I want to remember about him.
Yeah, that was
disgracing a couple of Bears numbers in the
oh, boy. Yeah, they gave him every retired number known to man. Oh, my God.
This was a smarter pick. This is going to be a better pick. This is going to be the pick that I think gives Ben Johnson what he needs in this offense, and that is a second tight end to complement Cole Kmet, and I think it will be more Cole Kmet complementing Colston Loveland. I can't wait to hear how Cole Kmet takes the news. You'll know we'll hear from him, what, by noon? There'll be a microphone nearby somewhere. He will speak into it and tell us what he thinks.
Two things stood out to me about my trip to the rodeo. Was the first was that they said a prayer before it began, and the guy that was running the rodeo, he screamed at the top of his lungs, "They can take the prayer out of our schools, but they'll never take it out of the rodeo." And then they said a prayer, which was, you know, just a moment. And the second was the rodeo clown was an actual, you know, he was also like a stand-up comedian. He got up there and he told jokes between acts. And one of his jokes was, "How do you know that diarrhea is hereditary?"
Runs in the family.
Runs in the genes.
Oh, runs in the genes. There we go.
Come on. It's the rodeo.
Long walk for a short trip.
You're never
of water.
Good at that. Oh, you didn't get there, though.
Okay. Well,
I'll help you.
I know.
I'll run
I was
in your
guessing.
Genes.
All right.
It's pretty good.
Yep. Yep. We got any more rodeo tales?
That's all I got. Two little moments. There was prayer, which I just thought was wild. And then there was the bad taste joke.
Gooding, Idaho is the hometown of Colston Loveland. He's supposed to be in Chicago later today. I think the Bears plan to introduce him later this afternoon. Before they get back to work tonight, 6 o'clock, second round begins or resumes.
He's on the way in. Is that right?
I think that they talked last night as if that was the plan.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if they can get it all done, but that would be protocol. They typically have
you
know, the first round pick in town as soon as possible and show him the ropes, and who knows?
He maybe knows the ropes, man. He's in the rodeo.
That's true.
It's going to be fun to see what Ben Johnson can do. And the thing that stood out to you about that particular pick was the fact that you know the guy that made it. And, you know, we had talked about having some grace and some leeway with the guy that you've really enjoyed seeing come to town. And now if he wants a tight end and he thinks that's what he needs to get the offense up and going, I think everybody gives a stamp of approval.
I'm curious how they handled it with Cole Kmet in all seriousness, and wonder if they gave him a heads up, if they had that conversation with him. You know, players are back in the building as part of the off-season workouts. And Cole Kmet was a captain last year, was he not? I think he had a C on his jersey.
There were so many of them.
But he's in a leadership role, and he is certainly somebody that has earned some respect in that building, in the organization, in this town. And I'm just curious, not that he had to sign off on it, but I wonder, we see all kinds of stories, whether it's Kirk Cousins last year with Michael Penix Jr. getting drafted and the shock that he felt, going back to Mike Glennon learning at draft night party that Mitch Trubisky was going to replace him.
That's kind of what I wondered about Cole Kmet. Like, did he, like, you know, with the Bears thing?
Was he at the draft party?
Was he at any party? Or did he, like, lose his
He drink? Had to have been expecting this somewhat, because both Warren and Loveland were guys that were mocked in most top 15 in the top 15 in most mock drafts.
Right.
And this cannot have come as a huge surprise.
And as you say, I mean, you know, it's two tight ends. It's a two tight end set. You still plan on using him, but certainly Cole Kmet, all of a sudden, you look at him and you look at his salary cap number differently than you may have done before that pick was made.
In terms of receivers, in terms of weaponry, how does this make the Bears compare to the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers, who got themselves a wide receiver of some skill and speed last night?
And it was a very popular pick. I don't know if you followed much of the broadcast. The Bears pick wasn't very popular in Green Bay, shockingly.
Yeah.
And
got booed.
Who's your buddy from USC? Who's Dustin's guy?
Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
How
could he...
How do you start an NFL broadcast for the draft with that?
It's just a hayseed thing. I wouldn't get too worked up about it.
Too late.
We managed to, like, you know what you should do, Dustin, to get over it? Just walk over to the Art Institute, take a look at how beautiful that place is. Or visit one of our
many
museums.
Maybe I should take
a
ride back up to Green Bay.
Yeah, don't go to the Packer Hall of Fame.
That place was packed. You see how many people were gathered for that? It's crazy.
Let me ask you. You know Green Bay as well as anyone. How many of those people are sleeping in their car? I mean, they don't have enough hotels for that number of people.
Well, they're probably gridlocked. They're probably just getting out of the parking lot now. It had to be a difficult logistical nightmare.
Wow. And they got to open a new trailer park.
Yeah. Yeah. Clay Matthews crossed the line. That was really uncalled for. That could not have been scripted. He just went rogue on everybody and really tainted a broadcast that otherwise was really good. And
it kicked off on such an awful way. I mean, it wouldn't have been, it could have been, as an example, it could have been in Dallas. And they could have done the same things with the Commanders or the Giants. I'd have felt the same way. Not as personally, right? But
what are
we doing here?
It was bad. It was amateur hour is what it was. And he had no right. That's why he could not have been on script. I'm sure that he was.
No, he said, although I don't understand why the president would want that message sent. But wait a minute. He said that I'm going to go off. Didn't he say like a whole, you know, I know I'm not supposed to start this way, Roger. And then everyone had a nice laugh.
Yeah. Somebody should have probably, once he said that.
And then later there was
security!
A beautiful moment for Mongo and the 50th anniversary of Walter Payton being drafted. Could you believe it was 50 years ago that Walter Payton was drafted?
That's crazy.
Insane. But, do we want to hear that great moment? Brandon's aching to play it. Let's hear from Dustin's best friend, new best friend.
I'm going to go off script here real quick, Roger, but I just got off the phone with the president, Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. So let me tell you what it reads here, all right? It says, my fellow Americans, the Bears still suck! Let's go! Go Pack!
Drunk and stupid is a bad way to go through life.
Could I just make a request?
It's really the only way to go through Green Bay, though.
5:54, that's the last time we play that audio today.
No, we're going to keep coming with it every time you mouth off.
We got to use it as a transition drop. When we mentioned Dustin, I was going to use it for the transition
still
drop.
Still do. Something to look forward to. Hey, Dustin, enjoy the weekend.